Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spurs in full cry here.
Welcome, listeners, to The Extra Inch. My name's Windy, and I'm joined by my sidekick and best friend, Bardi. Hello, Bardi.
Hello, Windy.
And our tactics guy, and I'm delighted to announce the new head coach of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, Nathan A. Clark. Hello, Nathan.
I don't think it would be a very good move for my career, Windy.
No, I agree. It probably wouldn't, would it? I mean, if they wanted you, they should have gone all out to get you in the first place. What a mess.
They'll have to compensate you.
Yeah, I mean, if Brighton want 50 million plus for Potter, how much are we going to ask for Nathan, Bardi?
I don't know. I think I'd take that deal, though. I think I would.
50 million, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've had some bad deals given to us in our time, but I think that'd be a pretty good one.
Yeah, take 50 million, disband the podcast, refund the ex-subs, and you and I just scuttle off into the sunset.
I might buy my a local pub team and then just do some tactics with them or something.
Me and Mr. For Real.
Exactly. We're not talking about
you'll only allow 11 Italian players on the pitch.
There is quite a big Italian community around here. Well, Luton anyway, so I just go to Luton and just pick up as many Angelos and Marcos as I can find.
Il Lutuno.
Bardi, do you want to explain to our listeners why you sound so horrendous?
No, it's not my microphone this time. It's my actual body's falling apart.
It's your immune system.
I just got a little bit overexcited, Windy. It's been a long time since I've been to the football, and it was ended up being a long, long day on Saturday. And just on the fourth floor, my body just can't recover as quick. Like, I just can't play. I definitely can't do two games in a week. I'm at that level now. I have to be nursed through each match.
Rotated.
Yeah, I think so. It's just like, what is wrong with me? It's now Sunday afternoon. It's Monday afternoon, and I'm still as broken as I was yesterday. But worth it. Really worth it. It was great to be back at the football and great to be, it's great to see your team win. It was lovely.
I do want to talk about that in some more detail. It was a really fun match. Firstly, I want to shout out Stephen Hitchin, not Steve Hitchin. He has been confused for Steve Hitchin before. Bardi, do you remember you spoke about gliders a few podcasts ago? Maybe like 10 podcasts ago you mentioned gliders?
Yeah, maybe, because around here there's the Dunstable Gliding Club, and I'm always looking at them and we're always thinking about like how brave you've got to be. But apparently you don't have to be that brave because you can't crash in a glider.
Well, yeah, I mean, Stephen is a gliding enthusiast, and he sent a very lengthy email explaining how it works, and like he said, don't get me started because I won't stop. Like, enthusiasts of gliding are major enthusiasts, but it was really interesting, and he had a very amusing story about picking up the paper and seeing Steve Hitchin working for Spurs when he's called Steve Hitchin. His surname is spelled the same way.
I mean, I would like to hear more from Stephen Hitchin about gliding, because they've got this kind of weird catapult thing. So sometimes they use a little plane to pull it up, but the other times they use this catapult where they just fling them into the air. And it's like, what's that about? I would like to hear more from Stephen.
I'll pass on the email to you so you can have a good read. It's interesting stuff, very detailed. Just a quick mention to the ex-subs for what was a very entertaining Q&A this week, which included 20 minutes on hedgehogs, I would say. Prime content. If that sounds like your kind of thing, then, you know, subscribe to our Patreon. So, Bardi, let's get stuck into the Italy match. You must have just been in your element by the end. I mean, extra time went very smoothly.
I mean, the first half was good. I thought it was good when I was there, but then I've been and rewatched the game, and I thought we were excellent in the first half. We had an opportunity, Barella, and then Immobile hit the post, and I thought our domination deserved to go in at the lead. But then in typical Italy fashion, we started to beat ourselves in the second half, and it could have gone really badly. And I think it's interesting when you watch what happened to Holland this week, that these teams that have just breezed through the group stages without any kind of problems, being like incredible. Belgium suffered a little bit last night with it, that all of a sudden the competition is now reset, it's changed. I know it's a cliche, but it has all just begun again now. Everything we did in the group stage doesn't matter anymore. It's gone. And now it's just about getting through the games, which is perhaps why England, they didn't even do anything good in the group stages. Perhaps why England are pretty well set up for the knockout football, because it does get a little bit nerve-wracking. Your bum starts to squeak and it's a total, one mistake and you're done for pretty much now.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the business end of the tournament.
Yeah, I thought Mancini made some interesting decisions. I thought Verratti over Locatelli was pretty brave, but I could see why he did it. And I thought Berardi was awful, and I thought Chiesa was fantastic when he came on. And that goal, it was right in front of me, but I couldn't tell you how he scored it because I don't remember it. It's just sometimes you see something and it just you stop and you look and then the ball is in, and it was just like celebration. So yeah, and now going back and I can really appreciate that goal for being as wonderful as it. Yeah, it was a wonderful goal.
Really, really, really fantastic finish.
I mean, the way he controls it with his face and then a quick little touch past a defender.
This is it. Yeah. It's, you know, we talk about the perfect hat trick, right foot, left foot header. This was the perfect goal. You know, a little lovely little header to control, a right foot touch and left foot finish. And every one of those touches was perfect, completely perfect. It was really special. I mean, because it's quite close to goal, people sort of might overlook it in terms of its quality. But for me, that is the goal of the tournament so far. It was really special.
A Paratici signing, I believe.
Was he?
Well,
I think so.
It didn't take a genius to sign Chiesa. He's now 23 years old, and he's been doing incredible things for a couple of years. So, yeah. I mean, it is technically one of his signings, yes. But it's like signing, I don't know, like signing Kane. Like Man City signing Kane and all of a sudden getting goals. You know, it's kind of going to happen. It's going to be good.
Fair. So Nathan's just debuted there, our new pronunciation of our new director of football. So Bardi's found out that it's not Paratici, it's Paratici. So we're going with Paratici from now on, out of respect for the man. Where do we go next? Gosh, this seems like a good place to start. Ethan P says, at what point does this mess of a manager search start impacting our ability to put together a coherent and successful transfer window? Has that ship already sailed? Yeah, I mean, it feels like that to some degree. There's been a lot of time wasted so far. Nathan, what do you think? Has that ship sailed?
At what point? When does pre-season start the 5th?
Next week.
Then that is my answer, because like you're impacting on the amount of time. Well, I guess in the week, well, from today, because obviously the manager has to come in and do his assessments and sort of in advance think how he wants to begin setting things up. I mean, the first week of pre-season, other than like sort of asserting themselves, is going to be fitness based. But after that point, you're laying down your plans for how you want your team to play, how you want them to play. And I think that you're thinking on your feet within next week. You want a manager to come in to the beginning of pre-season with those things thought out. So I think that a player who's not either there for pre-season, which is something that we complained about as Spurs fans for a decade, or in mind for preseason is going to start undermining the preparations a little bit. So basically now, I guess, is the answer. About now. Up till now, it's fine. But we are upon the line.
Only Spurs can go into a new season with the manager not being match fit. You know, you've got to have all our players are going to be toned and leaned and ready to go, but the manager will be just like out of condition. And the longer this goes on, the more I'm convinced we're going to get a national manager. I think that can only be it now.
Well, Mancini is fit. Mancini is fucking ripped. Oh my days! What a man.
I still, as much as I'm happy with what he's done with Italy, I just don't think he's the man to manage Tottenham. I don't think he's the day-to-day manager that we need. I still have doubts over his ability to motivate players over an extended period of time.
That's fair. And to build on Nathan's points, I would say, so I felt like we had a bit of a competitive advantage this summer, in that lots of our players who were expected to be called up for their national sides for the Euros or Copa America, they weren't called up. So we had more players at home than expected. So in theory, that should have been an advantage for us. We should have been having players learning a new manager's principles and being indoctrinated into their new style and, you know, put through their paces in the new man's pre-season way. So whatever that method happens to be, that'll be the chosen method. As it happens, we're going to be having players joining the squad late because we don't seem to want to press go on transfers until the manager's in place. And the manager is basically going to have to make pre-season up on the fly. I mean, you'd think that most coaches and managers would have pre-season plans in place, but it's going to take time to like inform the support staff at least of how things are going to operate. So it's really frustrating that we're now eating into essentially what could have been a competitive advantage. It's really, really frustrating. And whilst I was quite relaxed about the manager hunt for weeks, that was because I absolutely did not believe it would get to this point. I mean, if I thought that there was any chance it would get to this, I would have been anxious and annoyed from the beginning. This is ridiculous. This is beyond a joke now. And we do need to appoint a manager soon, very soon. You know, this week we need to appoint a manager so we can start preparation.
Yeah.
I would like to introduce using the idea of Roberto Martinez as a barometer for panic, right? So if you think back to we've just sacked Mourinho, how happy would you be on a scale of 1 to 10 if we signed Roberto Martinez? Where do you think you were about then?
1.
Yeah, like a 1. And now, pre-season is about to start. Nuno is being dangled in front of our faces. How highly would you rate Roberto Martinez now?
4.
About 4. All right, we're really starting to pick up, I think.
Give it a week. That 4 might be 7. Yeah. I mean, it's getting to that point, right? We just need someone in, and it's ridiculous that this is the case. I can only think that it was because of Paratici coming in so late. It's had a knock-on effect of us now appointing a manager so late. But that doesn't make any sense, because why wasn't he just appointed earlier? This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. What are we doing?
I mean, is this crazier than having like 20 players still at the World Cup? Or, I don't know, it's that kind of levels that you're right. We were going into a summer with very few players at the Euros, so we could have really hit the ground running. But yeah, I don't know if this is worse than the summer of 2018. I don't know. I'm still a 1 on Martinez. I haven't seen anything from Belgium, which makes me think that they have any plan other than give the ball to Lukaku or hope De Bruyne does something, or just hit and hope something that happens. Hopefully Martinez gets sacked on Friday night. That's what I'm hoping for when they play Italy.
So AJTHFC Middux, I'm guessing it's Middlesex, Middlesex. I think we all hope that with a director of football, we would see a clear long-term philosophy for the club, and that player signings and managerial hires would be made to fit that philosophy. With the evidence that we've seen so far, lurching from one manager to the next with seemingly no real criteria, plus Paratici's reputation for liking free transfers, should we expect the players and managers that we go for to be far more random and based on who is free or cheap at the time? Gosh.
There's a very, in my opinion, a very clear plan and philosophy in place here, and it is make Jorge Mendes as much money as we possibly can, right? We've gone through a string of different manager links of various different styles, but the one thing that they all have in common is that they are in at least some way related to Jorge Mendes's agency.
I don't even know if I want to go there. It's
we've got it.
It's
we've
so depressing.
Because, yeah.
So if we were to appoint Nuno Espirito Santo, what we would be doing is accepting that Mendes now does our transfers. He's like the first option for our transfers. You identify a position you want to fill, and you go to Mendes and you say, "What players have you got?" That's essentially what we'd be getting into bed with. And so there's an upside to that, which is if you look back over Wolves' transfer dealings, they've signed some players that you would not have thought it would be possible for Wolverhampton Wanderers to sign previously. And they are good players. They've made some fantastic signings. But scattered in amongst those fantastic signings are like, what was it, 40 million on Fabio Silva? And that's not a player that's worth 40 million. He played less than 1,000 minutes. That is a lining the pockets of some now very rich people signing. Yes, you know, they paid to some degree for potential, but it's not 40 million of potential. Potential would be 20 million, 25 million. So you're accepting some serious dark arts, and you're also accepting that an external factor is controlling much of your transfer activity, and I think that is concerning.
And it's not just transfers in, it's transfers out as well. It means that if we have, you know, a Mendes player who wants to move on, they will, and they will be very easily enabled by Mendes doing the same thing for another club. It's a mixed bag, and there's probably, you know, a lot of positives, but I just think you're taking that gamble on someone else instead of on yourself and your own ability to identify and recruit. We're at his whim, and it may be a good whim, but it's no longer sort of that much down to us until we find a way to cut ties if that's what we need to do. But
absolutely, I want to give Solaspurs Gianni a shout out as well, because he asked a question about Mendes also. Nathan, let's get your thoughts on Nuno, because we've not done that yet. Before we do that, I just want to briefly touch upon the hashtag. The No to Nuno hashtag. So obviously we started the No to Gattuso, or we signal boosted the No to Gattuso hashtag. I would not have done the same for No to Nuno, because for the Gattuso thing, it was based on him as a person and me and us not wanting to be associated, our club to be associated with him. I think Nuno's a really decent bloke. I like him a lot. I think he seems very charismatic, very pleasant. He does have a connection with the Wolves fans to some degree. He has good intentions, I think. I do not want him to be our manager. What do you think, Nathan, about him as a potential manager candidate?
Well, I think he did a good job at Wolves. I think that he's a good manager. But, I mean, we won't be the first people to sort of point this out, obviously. But, like, Levy did a public statement in which he talked about club DNA and attacking free-flowing, entertaining football. And and I just don't think Nuno's your guy. Okay, so, like, obviously I'm not going to say this is not a manager who can play football of that type. I'm not going to say it's impossible. That's completely against who he is. The odds aren't massively in his favour. Obviously, Wolves have a negative talent differential in the Premier League, right? But if you go back to his Porto, who were one of the stronger sides, if not the stronger sides, they weren't so great. If you go to his Valencia, they were sort of functional and decent, but certainly not free-flowing or attacking or brilliant. And then, okay, you've got his first year at Wolves in the Championship, and yeah, they were pretty good to watch. But as we sort of already mentioned, through Mendes, he had a Europa League squad in the Championship, yeah. And it's almost unavoidable to play a, you know, good dominant football with such a positive talent differential there. So I think maybe you've got one season out of pushing towards 10 in which there's been any kind of demonstration of that. I think that, like, it's not just like it's not Sam Allardyce or Pulis, right? There are stylisms and interesting things, interesting from a sort of after the fact textbook nerdy kind of way, but maybe not that interesting to watch. There was an article in The Athletic that said, yes, they were sort of pragmatic and dull in the last season, but overall they were entertaining. But what the author, I've forgotten his name, but what the writer says there is like the entertainment factor came, or what they don't say but is clearly implicit, is that the entertainment factor came from the story and the growth over time, and mm-hmm. the fact that they were a championship side, moved up to the Premier League and pushing up and doing those things. Of course they're entertaining on occasion, of course they had some good games, etc. But it was and being able to low block press a lot of the time. They were down the bottom of the PPDA, passes per defensive action. Well, it really means the opposite of that, right? Allowed passes per your team's defensive action metric season after season. So, I don't know. I'm still not going to say that, like, he can't coach attacking football, but, like, you're better off gambling that Bobby Martinez can make his attacking football work than you are gambling that someone who's not coached attacking football can pick that up on the fly with the right signings. So, yeah, I'm not especially optimistic about this one.
Absolutely agree. And what you're saying there with the PPDA reference is essentially they're a very passive team. They allowed the opposition to have lots of the ball in front of them in areas where they thought they couldn't be hurt. They defended quite deep and quite close to their own goal.
They do pick up the intensity in their press in the right spaces. Once the ball is into the area around their midfield, they quickly pick up the intensity. So there's some active closing down rather than being forced all the way into their own box, but rarely outside of their own half of the pitch.
Bardi, as someone who was a little more open to playing a more defensive style of football under Mourinho, you know, would you take 38 1-0s, etc. how do you feel about potential of Nuno joining us?
I mean, for me, it kind of falls in the same category as Fonseca. I wasn't for it, but I wasn't like mortally against it like I kind of was with Gattuso. Had Nuno been appointed, then fine. Let's hope he builds on what he's done already and builds from a defensive position and does something with perhaps better players, with Son, with Kane and stuff. So I was willing to accept that. And that's why I was a bit vocal against the whole hashtag. I just thought it was, you know, there's a time and a place for certain things. And I don't think that hashtag was justified in going after Nuno with it. As you said, as we've all said, he seems like a nice guy he's got a plan on how to play football. It doesn't fit in with what I like from football and what we want to see from our manager and the whole Mendes thing. But had he been appointed, I would have supported Nuno, you know. I think there's probably something still there in that guy, and I'd still take Nuno over Roberto Martinez. Yeah, that's where I am with it. I don't want Nuno, but right now you're a 4 now, Martinez, instead of being a 1. I would have been a 2 on Nuno back in May, but now I'm a 7 on Nuno.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
I could easily see myself getting behind him, you know.
Absolutely. You know, if we did appoint him, then he would have my full backing. Mm. And we just have to wait and see if he can adapt to the squad. I don't think we have many players that fit the way his Wolves side has played over the last few years, to be honest. So he'd have to adjust his style accordingly.
Yeah, my concern about him is the lack of progress from that Wolves team. It's the Wolves team that came up looked good because, you know, it was a surprise, it was different, 3-5-2, everything else, what they were playing. And then there's just been no advancement from there. They haven't kicked on, they haven't improved. Certain individuals that remain good, but they just the whole, he hasn't been able to build upon that foundation, which is my concern. It's not like you could look at Pochettino, what he was doing at Southampton, and say, yeah, that's transferable to a new set of players. I'm not sure that is, I'm not sure what he believes in can move across teams.
So in his final season at Wolves, he attempted to change things up and play a more attacking type of football by moving to a 4-2-3-1.
Mm.
So you can see there's some plan there. And previously at Valencia, at Porto, he'd played with a back four and a couple of different shapes in front of that. So I would imagine that would be sort of the idea that he'd be going with. That failed very badly at Wolves. They went from having a defensive plan that was miserable to watch to having a much less clear, much less discerned, more attacking plan, had a terrible string of results, and then reverted to the defensive football to get them over line and avoid relegation. So, I mean, I guess that would be the assumption, that he would want to play 4-2-3-1. I guess it depends on his view on the squad, obviously, but I would imagine that there would be quite... If his intention is to play attacking football, which surely it would have to be, then I would imagine that the ideas overall would be quite different to what we've seen at Wolves, and we're sort of starting with a bit of a blank slate, which is why I feel like, yeah, sure, I'll give him a chance, but I imagine I'll have pretty strong feelings after five games, because either we will be... And like, you can attempt and you can fail to play attacking football for a season, absolutely, but if we're not trying... Yeah. You know, after just a few games, I'm going to start to feel pretty miserable pretty quick, because like what we said multiple times last season is like, hey, things aren't great now, but he'll probably be sacked by the end of the season and we can move on. We've got such a good squad. We built this stadium, training grounds, blah, 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 blah. We're going to rebuild. We're going to be something better. And so we got through, or certainly I got through the Jose Mourinho era, knowing that it would be short term and there'll be, you know, a greener side over there. Yeah. So to then like hire another sort of defensive, pragmatic manager because his agent is your agent. I'm not feeling particularly good. But then I also have to say, hey, look, the last like seven managers we were strongly linked with have fallen through. So I can't break my heart preemptively on a manager that may well go to Fenerbahce or whatever. So
that's fair. That's completely fair. The worry for me, the bigger worry for me, is he's even in the consideration in the first place, because it shows that it's a scattergun approach again. It's not
shame with Gattuso. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is it. There's no apparent structure to our search for a manager. And I think that leads nicely onto this question.
Well, I just got one more thing. I said on Twitter that this whole manager search is like, you know, there was an old lady who swallowed a fly, and then she swallowed the spider to catch the fly, and then she swallowed the bird to catch the spider to catch the fly. And that's what Tottenham are doing. They just keep eating worse and worse and worse to try and solve the original problem. Is just hiring a decent manager. And we're just going down and down the list. And the further down the list, the more concerned I get that we're going to end up with Martinez, or God forbid, a Southgate. And then just, what's the point? Give me my season ticket back.
So Bardi, you're going to need your expertise here to answer this question. This is from Mohamed Serti, who says, whilst I keep hearing good things about Paratici's player recruitment, his choice of coaching appointments deserves scrutiny. Aside from the Allegri and Conte hires at Juve, there's been Del Neri, Sarri and Pirlo. Unlike Juve, we don't have the history to attract enough top level players who any coach can be reasonably successful with. Thus, could you scrutinise at a high level his general decision making at both Juve and Sarri?
Well, Del Neri was a logical appointment. They knew him. He'd done pretty well at Sampdoria, and you could see why they did that. Obviously, it was a disaster. Then after that, Conte worked out, and then they got himself Pogba, and they had himself Pirlo, and then Vidal. So it worked out in that way. But I don't think Sarri was a bad choice. Allegri was a great choice. So Sarri, Allegri, Conte were all successes. So that's a good thing. Pirlo was, they needed a fall guy, and it smells of a fall guy. They needed someone to take a hit this year, and that's who they went with. I don't think his manager, I don't think there's too much to scrutinise there.
I actually think they've misstepped Pirlo. I think that he's done quite well, and maybe he's brought in to be the fall guy, but they should have stuck with him because the football was actually pretty decent. The underlying numbers were extremely promising. Mm. So I don't know. And there is a bit of sort of a Spurs pattern there, where they go like pragmatic defensive coach, forward thinking possession coach, pragmatic coach, doing the odds and evens there. So, I mean, I guess with Juventus, they don't have the sort of the thing that we do, where we prioritise that so much. They just want to win Scudetto every single year. Mm-hmm. So if it's a different remit and it's purely about success, it's a pretty decent string of managers, I think. Sarri not working out is you know, you should judge the appointment, the time that the appointment was made, and Sarri is a very good manager, even if he's maybe a misfit for Juve, but nonetheless.
I'd take Sarri at Tottenham all day. I think he'd be great at Tottenham. Of course, he does have the ex-Chelsea thing. Allegri was Allegri wasn't a difficult decision. He'd won the league with Milan. He was highly, very experienced. I think the problem with Juve is, you know, it's well documented. They sold their soul in the chase for the Champions League and bought Ronaldo to get there, and that's kind of upended their whole team.
Before we get stuck into some more questions, I just wanted to flag up a player we've been linked with very strongly this week.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hero Tomiyasu, who plays for Bologna, this season he's been a right back, but previously he'd been a centre back or can play on the right of the back three. It seems like Atalanta want to sign him and Spurs are competing with them for him. The reporting kind of implies that Spurs are sort of strongly interested. And Nathan, I know you've done quite a bit of watching of clips of him. I just wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I think he's a good player, is this just short of it. I think that his future is at centre-back. I think that, you know, he's done a bit of time sort of playing the Ben Davies defensive fullback role because that's the setup that they wanted. But he, you know that I don't like saying that players are centre-backs, are fullbacks, but I certainly wouldn't say he is a fullback. I think that our intention with him would be to play centre back, and maybe also, you know, he can cover right back when needed because that's another problem area. But I would imagine that is the intention with him. He is tall, but he's not great in the air. He's got better in the air recently because he's put some muscle weight on. He's very two-footed. He's right dominant, but his left is good. He often plays on the left side when he's playing at centre back, or he has done anyway. His passing isn't incredible, but is sort of safe and secure. His sort of comfort on the ball is stronger though. He sort of has a decent carry on him. So like he'd be sort of fairly secure or is fairly secure when he's sort of put under pressure, but he's not going to be sort of expansive and picking out runners over the top and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Still a developing player, obviously. But yeah, I quite like, and this is the thing, like, the players that we're being linked to while we're being linked to what I consider to be predominantly not great managerial choices are outstanding. Like, it's like the links aren't as strong. The links aren't incredibly like, we're definitely about to sign this player, but the links that are being made are like, yeah, you know, they're like, they're the most promising they've been maybe ever. And so it's kind of baffling. It's like, because like, obviously the manager is the main thing at the moment. Everyone's going, oh, players or whatever. We don't have a manager yet. How can you sign players? But like, the players are good. Players are really good.
Buddy, any insights from you on Tomiyasu?
No, but if Atalanta want him, he's a good player. They have a special eye for picking up players. So just scout their scouts and what nice. They do copy.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I watched a few clips yesterday, and I tend to agree with Nathan. I think he's really promising. I think his left foot is so good that we could even be targeting him to play on the left of a back three.
Sure.
It's not that he uses his left foot when he has to. He's very happy to use his left foot when it's appropriate to do so, when the angle's better for a left foot. I would consider him, you know, literally both-footed. And that goes for dribbling as well as passing. He's very comfortable dribbling on his left and sort of feinting on his left as well. I said to Nathan yesterday, he reminds me a bit of Vedran Čorluka in that he looks quite slow and almost cumbersome, and yet he tends to make good progress. He's quite a neat dribbler. He covers ground relatively quickly, although he doesn't accelerate well. He's got a good stride on him, so he covers back ground really quickly. And yeah, comfortable bringing the ball out into midfield. I think there's lots to like about him. He's only 22. The sort of numbers being quoted are around the 16, 17 million mark, which that's a relatively cheap signing for a player that's played a couple of seasons at the highest level. So yeah, makes loads of sense to me. I quite like the link. I don't see him being like the dominant centre back we've all been hoping for. That's the only thing. So it would need to be probably him and one other coming in at centre back. That's my only sort of question mark. Sticking with centre-backs, Paul P. Punctures says, Do Joe Roden's Welsh performances translate to a starting place in Spurs' backline? I've been pretty impressed, I must say. He's not the finished article by any stretch. He's still a player that makes mistakes. He got stupid booking for dissent. But I think Joe Roden is a really good ball-playing centre-back. Has your view changed on him at all, Bardi?
No, I think he remains a decent option. I think Wales have given up quite a few chances, and he's defended the box pretty well. Yes. In the same kind of way that Alderweireld and Vertonghen are managing to look pretty good at this tournament. Just a lot of good box defending players, which they always are. I just have concerns about Roden if we try and play a more expansive version or play the ball out the back or play a higher line. That's where my concerns would happen. In a low block team, I think he'll be fine.
Nathan, have you been impressed by Big Joe Roden?
I thought that we should play him more before the Euros. I don't feel particularly differently now. I tend not to. I haven't even watched that much Wales, to be fair. I missed the Denmark game, so yeah, sure.
So another player being linked to the move is Ben Davis. I mean, there's some crazy numbers quoted. He is being linked with Serie A, actually. I forget the side. Who was it? It was with him.
Inter?
No, I don't think it was Inter. I forget who it was now.
Roma.
No, it won't be Roma.
Napoli's got to be Napoli then.
But they're talking about 50 million plus for him, which bite the hand off, surely, right?
Yeah.
As much as he's been an excellent servant to Spurs, he speaks very well. I like him as a person. He's never moaned about being in and out of the team, which must have been frustrating for him. I mean, that sounds like a good price for a player who has not really kicked on that much at Spurs. He's a steady Eddie and very little more. If we could offload Gentle Ben and bring in Tomiyasu with like a extra 1 or 2 million outlay, that feels like an upgrade. And you're sort of thinking towards the future as well, because you're getting a much younger player.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on board with that. We're all in favour.
Do it. Make it happen, Windy.
Final question. This is from Petter, who says, if Winks leaves and we're going to play more possession-oriented style, who do you think will play the green bin role? Do we need to buy someone? And the green bin is a reference I made, God, months ago now. I'm delighted that Petter's run with it, because no one else has run with this at all. Essentially, he's the recycler of the ball. He's the person who keeps things moving. He recycles possession. I think Huey Bear can do that to a degree, Nathan.
Yeah, and Skip as his deputy.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's Skippy.
Schoenberg has been very impressive. I was starting to have my doubts about him, to be honest. I thought he was a bit overhyped, but he's been fantastic. He even did a foot roll. He rolled the ball under his foot and then cut inside and had a shot. The shot was rubbish, but it was very impressive. I think he's been great. Maybe he's just Schoenberg unleashed. So maybe he could play that role. I've enjoyed watching him play. I'm concerned about the amount of minutes that guy's run through this year.
That's it, isn't it? That's the warning flag. I mean, he's definitely shown that he can play a more all-round role rather than just to sort of sit in and keep things moving. I mean, I thought whenever he pressed forward for us last season, he looked effective. I mean, I can remember two or three goals where he stole the ball up high and was really effective at sort of leading the press. And when you've got a player like Skip who has just done, you know, a traditional water-carrying role for Norwich, where he's picking the ball up from the back centre-backs and he's moving the ball through the first line, that kind of could give Huey Bier some freedom. And I don't relish Skip and Huey Pierre being in the same midfield, but I can see managers thinking that is a functional option, certainly to start off with. So I think in answer to Petter's question, I think we've got some potential there in terms of players that can keep the ball moving and have multiple, have a high pass volume. That's the key thing, isn't it? You do need a midfielder. I mean, Bardi loves Jorginho, who gets on the ball and keeps things moving and gets on the ball and keeps it moving and just does that constantly throughout a match and helps set the tempo. And I think Skip and Huey Pierre both have the potential to be that man for us.
It makes me so sad that Jorginho plays for Chelsea all the time. It makes me so sad. I can't enjoy him. I think he's fabulous. I think he's one of the best midfielders in the world, but it's always that little kind of niggling feeling that he's Chelsea.
Anything else to add, boys?
We should sign Damsgaard. Boy can run.
Actually, we had a bit of a chat on the Q&A about players we've been most impressed with at the Euros. There have been some eye-catching performers. And Nathan, take us through yours, because I think they're particularly interesting.
I already can't remember who I said.
So, Isak.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tell us about him.
What did I say? I mentioned that he didn't make my initial list that I put together for, if we sell Harry Kane, here are some other options. But I sort of after some pressure, Voodoo Chopsticks Dan sort of was leading the charge, and I was like, oh yeah, sure, okay, I'll put him on. You know, he had very good numbers last year. He kind of runs like he's about to fall over.
Yeah, he does.
But he doesn't, so that's fine. But yeah, he's a good player and is obviously has had a brilliant Euros. And then I mentioned Locatelli as well.
Yeah.
Who if you want someone to recycle possession, there's not many better players in the world for that. So do we need to bring in a deep midfielder, a 6/8? Maybe. Do we have the budget to buy Locatelli? I doubt it very much, especially if Juventus are interested. But he's good. We have been linked with him as well. He's one of the players who makes me say, oh, look at all these players we've been linked with. Goodness. Yep.
That would be an unbelievable signing. I can't see it happening.
No.
But it would be unreal. Oh, God. I think we're a bit downbeat, aren't we, about this manager hunt? Let's hope that by this time next week, we can be a little bit more cheerful and look towards the future. I mean, this time next week, pre-season training will be starting and we'll have some training shots of our returning players. So that'll be nice.
I'm fairly confident, but by the time that I've edited this podcast, the entire situation will be completely different.
Yeah, that would be highly typical, right?
Yeah, and let's hope Roberto Martinez is out of contract by this time next week. Let's hope he's been fired because of another disappointed display.
And then he's available, isn't he? Well, yeah. That's not what you want.
Well, that's a conundrum now. If Italy beat Belgium, do I want Italy to beat Belgium, which could ultimately lead to Roberto Martinez being hired as a Tottenham manager? That's quite the would you rather. It's quite the conundrum. Yeah, I'm going to leave that there and let people guess what my opinion would be on that.
It's quite a lot easier for me to answer than for you to answer, buddy.
Well, I don't want to answer because it could be held against me.
You've been listening to The Extra Inch. Thanks to Nathan A. Clark for production. Thanks to Bardi for being Italian. Thanks to Adam Gardner for the artwork. Thanks to David Lindmer for our intro music. You can find him on Twitter at Davey Shambles and his SoundCloud, D. Lindmer. Do check him out. He's great. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Extra Inch. Email us via podcast@theextrainch.co.uk and subscribe via your usual podcast platforms. And if you do enjoy the podcast, consider leaving us a rating and review. That would really help.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.